Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, we gather together to praise you. We hear the call of the kingdom. We come because you, Lord Jesus, are the word of the Father sent to us. We come because our hope is in you, and we want to sing that truth and that truth to be renewed in us week after week, the truth that never changes through the ages. Lord, we praise you that you are an awesome God. And we pray that we would know your spirit with us this morning, and you would be lifting our eyes to Jesus, our King. Lord, forgive us for the times we've looked away from you, from when our gaze has been set too low, for the times we've turned from you and done things which are not of you. But Lord, we come to receive your forgiveness, to be renewed in your life from the youngest to the oldest. Do that by your Spirit among us, we pray this morning. Amen. Allie Joe, guys, thanks for leading us in the opening of our worship. Just while we're all together this morning, got a few different things I want to tell you about, a few things that are happening. So we're going to begin with Dave, and Dave's going to come and tell us a little bit about Exodus. Dave.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here to quickly tell you about an event that's happening next Saturday night. I think it's safe to say at St. Field Road we love a table quiz. Some folks come to table quizzes, they play to win, but if you're like me, you're just happy to be in the room, soak up the atmosphere, and in many cases learn a few new interesting facts. So you'll hopefully see a poster like this dotted around the church. It's next Saturday night. It's the 20th of May, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And I thought, just to get us into the kind of quiz mindset, I would have two questions for you. And you can respond by putting your hand up. So you can answer by putting your hand up. I'll give you a question, and then I'll call it a few possible answers, and you put your hand up. So the first quiz question is, how many people from St. Field Road are connected to St. Field Road are going off on Exodus teams this summer? If you think that is one person, put your hand up. Two, three, four people, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. The answer is nine. There are nine people connected to St. Field Road heading off on Exodus teams this summer. Second question, how many different countries are they going to? And again, just put your hand up when I say a number. So if you think it's one country, if you think they're all going to the same country, put your hand up. Nope. Okay. Two countries? Three? Four? Five? Six? Seven? I think the answer is five. I think there are five different countries represented. So if you got both of those right, well done. Unfortunately, no prizes. But there will be prizes next week. So if you come along next week, there will be prizes. I don't know, Johnny, is that maybe a record? Five countries, nine people? Yeah. We'll check the data, but we're pretty sure that that's a record. Nine different people from St. Field Road, some young people and some not so young people, and we're going to five different countries: Latvia, Hungary, Romania, Spain, and my team is staying here in Northern Ireland. Now, if you can't go, please don't panic, because we have another poster like this, and it's a QR code to our Total Giving website, and you can head on there and you can donate online. We'll take, obviously, cash on the night. We'll take anything. We're not going to discriminate, but if a lot of people don't carry cash, so you can donate online, and you can also gift aid that as well, and we'll try and have some gift aid envelopes on the night for people who want to give with cash, and if you want to give online, you can do so using the QR code. And if you have any questions after the service, just give me a shout. Thank you, guys.
Dave, thanks very much. Really excited about that. Nine people from going to five countries, and Dave, thanks for organising that for us. Just a great way of encouraging them and supporting them and sending them off. Next thing that's happening is somebody else is going elsewhere too. So I'm going to invite Heather Lowry to come up and join us. And at this point, if you are joining with us at home, so we're going to cut off the audio and probably go widescreen because you know, as we've talked with Heather before, we just need to be really circumspect about this. So we're all watching you again on the stairs there, Heather. Just one more thing to share while we're all in. It's Christian Aid Week this week. You'll have seen the envelopes in the seats. So this week, and they'll be around this week and next week and available for giving. There's a possibility in the coming weeks and months, we may have a lunch and a walk-up sleeve crube as well for anybody who wants to do that. Ian's on that and he'll let you know about that. So keep an ear out for that. But in the meantime, there's an opportunity to give. And I want to show you a five-minute video. About a woman called Esther and what Christian Aid is supporting and doing this year. So watch this and think how you might respond.
Welcome to Malawi, the warm heart of Africa. Stay tuned for your Christian Aid Week broadcast.
Rising food and energy prices are impacting millions across the world. Economists point to COVID, the war in Ukraine, and poor harvests as the cause.
And now, a short ad break. Bread prices up by 50% in just 3 months? Our tasty locally produced rolls could be the solution. Esther is here to serve you delicious rolls straight from her cooperative's oven. No need to travel. Our team will come to you. Esther's rolls are baked using flour made from locally grown pigeon peas. So there's no expensive fuel-related costs to hike up the price. And no need for costly imported wheat. Thanks to pigeon peas' awesome drought-resistant properties, everyone can enjoy them when other crops fail. But hurry, Esther's rolls are selling like hotcakes. They are loved by adults and children alike. Esther's little grandson, Nespo, can't get enough. Your family will love them too. Next on Christian Aid Week TV, it's Esther's story.
Ine abambu adamwalira chakashata. Zinandirengera po masiku angapo ndithu kuti ndilimbe. Monga mukudziwa kuti wina akashoka ndima makhala osweka. Choncho siri matatsiku asanabwere munthu odzapemphera pa nyumba pano. Olo akumpingo kumene amatha kubwera kudzapanga mapemphero pa nyumba pano malomo kuti ine ndiyende ndipite ku chalichi. Ndi chisomo chokha cha Ambuye emwe anabwezeretsa mphamvu zonthumimu koma zinali zinthu zomvesa chisoni ndipo zodandaula. Zodandaulisa koma chilimbikitso basi chazinzanga manebazi akachoka kokubwera tizicheza pano azikamba nkhani zoseka cholinga chokuti ineyo kukhumudwa kanga kuchepe ndipo ndi ana awiri atsikana okhaokha ndi zizukulu ziwiri tanyamata tokhatokha amene amatisiya chakachata mawu omaliza anandisira onena kuti ana usamale awa usawatahe chifukwa nanga sindajoina mprojekti osakhalisa amamungumatisiya koma 2019 atabwera nandiwo farmers association nkutizindikiritsa kuti mukolole zambiri kuna mibako cooperative osonkhanisa nandolo pamodzi kuti agulidwe kachiwiri tikupanga business ya bakery yomwe anandiwo farmers association kudzera ku KitchenAid anatigulira uvuni nimee tikuphika mabhanzi osakaniza ndiufa wanandolo ndipo anthu akuakonda eo ndii ndi zidzukulu ziwiri Nespo ndi Emmanuel ndikufuna ndiwalere ndi umoyo wa chikhristu plasi ana amene wawa apite ku sukulu moti kena ka Nespoyo ali pa nazali kale inana amene watu akamabwera kwa ine kudzacheza mutima mwanga mutima mfabwino ndimadzichita kuti ndine wakulu ine nzukulu wanga ndimamunyadira kwambiri ankafuna zipangizo za ukalipentala pokwanilisa chilinganizo chake chimene analista ndefefe kumana kuti ine koma ndakhala kalipentala ndakhala kalipentala then masonkhanitsira chida chimozi ndichomalizira imene nagula mu 2019 nditagulisa nandolo amangoti gula mavenda mokuba nandolo moti maphindu enieni samaonekayi pomwe panopo mwayi kukhalapo chifukwa mneneri alipo nandolo farmers association kudzera kukhesha nedi ndirama zina zinagwira ntchito zina zakumunda kugulira fetiliza kukira kumeneko kumene kukhala ngati kukufika be kumationa ngati kuti ndife anthu ochita bwino nkhani yake ndinai
There you go. So do think about how you can support Christian Aid. We're going to sing in a moment and sing a song about stop and think, don't be so fast, about serving and what it means as those who follow Jesus, not to be first, but to be last. Before we do, let me just say, after all those other things we heard, the one thing I meant to mention, we've got our AGM after the service, just while we're all in here. Let me tell you this. I'm hoping it doesn't last more than 10 minutes. We're going to have it just 2 minutes after the service. So coffee's going to be after the AGM. So it's going to give people a chance to go if you really need to. But I want to keep you all here if I can. So 2 minutes to get away if you need to, or if you need to go and check on and children who are out in the ark. But I think Jill's going to be out there as well. So she'll be around, and there'll be someone around with the children there if you want to. It's going to be 10 minutes at the end there, and then we'll have coffee afterwards. But now we're going to sing before the younger guys leave us. I mentioned there just the AGM afterwards, just very briefly after the service. There's also a letter for each contributor in the hub. You may have got yours already on the way in, and there's still a number of out there to collect on the way out. They're in boxes according to district numbers. Please collect yours. If there's a neighbour you know who's not here that you could take it to, do take that as well. And elders and committee members responsible for those districts, if you could keep an eye out for people from your district and hand them out and get them out, that would be great. That just reminds people what they've given over the year of 2022. If any of the details are incorrect, if there's wrong names on there, or you think your husband or wife should be on there, or they shouldn't be on there, or you want to be addressed less formally than you are, or more formally than you are on that letter, we're trying to work on bringing the system up to speed on that. Or if your address is wrong, these are the great moments to let us know and get things more up to date. If the financial details in there are wrong, do let us know about that too, please. Do speak to Wally or to Moni in the office. This evening, you're really warmly welcome to join in a prayer service with Beaver. I'll be leading a prayer service at Beaver at 6:30 in Beaver Presbyterian as we continue to pray about and for the partnership. And then on Wednesday, it's our own midweek prayer meeting here at 7:30. A reminder for those in PW, the PW trip is this Saturday, the 20th, at St. Malua's at 1 o'clock. A reminder to meet there. We've heard about Exodus that's happening that Saturday evening, Exodus fundraiser. And then there's a Tuesday break outing, which is happening on the 6th of June. Now, that's an outing to the Creamery Can in Glaryford, which is an ice cream production place and cafe. So we're heading out there on the bus. We're having a little tour of the, I say we because I'm going, having a tour of the Creamery Can and learning about ice cream production. And then there's a sundae at the end, ice cream sundae at the end. So the bus is leaving from 1:30 from here. It costs £10 per person, including the bus and the tour and the ice cream. If you'd like to come, and if you're an appropriate person for coming to Tuesday break, this is free for all, for everybody, do come and fill in the form available in the hub. We've got a number of forms out there, and Jean's handing those out. So do fill that in and get that back so we know numbers. I think that's all I want to say at this point. Alice is going to bring up the offering, and Wally is going to come and lead us in our prayers. Thanks, Wally.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you in prayer this morning, whether that be gathered together in our church building or from the surroundings of our own homes. Thank you that wherever we are, you are here with us, and you hear and respond to our prayers. God, we praise you that the boundaries of church are not confined to four walls or a building, but rather the church is your people. And what a privilege to join with our many brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who choose to worship you today. Thank you that you hear each and every prayer, spoken and unspoken, and that you are here with us now. Lord, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear our prayers and answer them according to your will. Teach us to pray with our hearts as well as our lips. Keep our thoughts from wandering and help us to remember that you are near us when we pray, and are always ready to listen to what is on our hearts. We thank you for the examples in the Psalms of prayers to you that are heartfelt and raw, full of praise and worship, but also of real anguish and sometimes brutal honesty. You are the God of our whole lives, not just the bits that we sometimes choose to bring to you. And we are so thankful that you are a sovereign God who chooses us to be a part of your family. We thank you, God, for all that you have given to us. And as we bring you these offerings, whether on the plates here in church or through bank transfer or standing order, we offer them back to you as part of our continued worship of you as a church family, so that they may be used for the advancement of your gospel of good news in this congregation, in this area, in this city and country, and across the world. We want to bring Christian Aid Week before you, Lord, and ask for your blessing upon the work that they do. We thank you that for over 75 years they have stood together in solidarity with the most marginalized of people and have worked towards their cause of trying to eradicate extreme poverty by tackling its root causes. Thank you for the many wonderful stories and encouragements that have come out of their work, especially what we heard of Esther's story this morning and the collective that she works with. We thank you for all that Christian Aid do to equip, empower and encourage continually. And we pray that you would keep encouraging them in their work to make a lasting change for people. We pray for the giving that happens across this week and ask that you would challenge us all in our giving, that we would choose to be partners with Christian Aid in their work and support them financially where we are able to this week. We pray for the work of Exodus and are so thankful for those 9 people from our congregation who are going to serve with them this year. We pray for them as they prepare to serve you at home and abroad, and that you would be at work in their hearts to love like you love and to go forth and serve others and advance the gospel in this world in your name. We're thankful for all the fundraising that has gone on so far, and remember the upcoming table quiz to raise money for Exodus. We pray that it will be a time of great joy in celebrating their work, having fun together as a church family, and raising money so that Exodus can go even further in their mission. We remember those close to home who are in need as well, and pray for the work of organisations like Storehouse and other food banks who exist to help those in need within our own communities. Father, we look forward to the days when these organisations will not be needed. But the world is not as we would like it, and so we pray with thankfulness for Storehouse and others like them who see that need and seek to fulfil it and help those who are struggling. May they find the support they need in terms of finances and donations, and may those who need their services know that they are loved and valued and welcomed through their doors, no matter what their situation might be. Within our church family, Lord, we think of those that we know and love who are sick, whether with physical ailments or mental distress or spiritual anguish. We pray for all those who mourn. And as a congregation, we remember our brother Reggie Hammond, who passed away and was buried this week, and ask that you would draw near to his family and his friends. Draw near to them and to all those who mourn, and bring them your peace and your comfort in their mourning. We take a moment now to think of the names of those known to us who are facing those hard and difficult times. Father, comfort them and heal them where it is your will. More than anything, help them to know that they are not alone and that they have the ear of the Creator of the universe. Remind them that they can come to you whether we are gathered here as a church family or at 3 a.m. when things feel like they're too much. We thank you that in the Psalms it says that when our hearts are overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that is higher than us. And in the book of James, we're told that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and that is always and only because of the one who we pray to. So we ask you, Lord, to protect and comfort all those in need. We think forward to the AGM happening after this service, Lord, and remember with thankfulness your goodness to us as a church family. We are abundantly blessed with resources and buildings where we can meet to worship you together, and that are used to serve not just our church family, but also the community around us in a variety of different ways. We thank you for all the resources you've blessed us with, and we thank you for those who have been appointed to steward them. We thank you for Session, who serve the congregation in spiritual and pastoral matters, and for Committee, who serve by looking after the running of the church buildings and many other things. Finally, Lord, as we worship you together in these days, we ask as a congregation that you would open our eyes and help us to step into the light as we hear from your word this morning. May your Holy Spirit burn within us and challenge us as Ben brings your word from the book of Exodus. Rest your Spirit upon him so that as he speaks to us, your message to us will be heard clearly and your wisdom spoken into our hearts, that you would transform our walk with you anew. May you build us up as a people living together in God's place, under God's kingdom and rule, being beacons of light, beacons of your light in times like these, to serve everyone around us with the love of Christ, to break out from our comfort zones, to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Father, we bring you these prayers and everything else that is on our hearts because you are the one who knows us and loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us, to take away our sins and bring us the hope of eternal life. Amen. I was supposed to announce a song. We're going to stand and worship together.
thank you. Wally, thanks for leading us in prayer there. I wanted to begin by addressing all the budding gardeners out there who must be really enjoying the sunshine over these last days. And then it went and rained this morning. But sunshine and rain is all really important for the garden, isn't it? And undoubtedly, people are out now. Spring is turning to summer and enjoying the gardens. And so I want to begin by sharing with you a picture of church, a garden picture of church that I often come back to. Now, it's stolen from a book, like all the best ideas are. But it's the idea of the trellis and the vine and trellis. Picture that, if you will, that kind of scene in the garden. There's the vine, used in the Bible, often as a picture of God's people. God's people as branches in Christ, we read about in John 15. The vine, that picture of the life of God planted in his people. People rooted and connected in Jesus. And with the Spirit at work in and through us. A picture of life flowing into and spreading through all the branches and limbs and growing in fruitfulness. A picture of life, God's life in us. And then there's the trellis, that wooden supporting structure, which helps the vine grow in strong and healthy ways without collapsing in on itself, allowing life and fruitfulness to spread. Now, the trellis, the supporting structure, it's not the vine, it's not the life, it's not the focus, it's not the glory of the garden. That's the fruit and the flower, isn't it? But the structure is helpful and important so that the vine blooms and life flows. Church is God at work in and through his people. Spirit-filled, organic life. Spreading glorious fruitfulness through the vine and its branches. And you and I know that the supporting structures of church are not ultimately what church is about. But those supporting structures, like the way we practically organize things, are important. And the life of the vine is intertwined in the trellis. Good and bad structures can strengthen or weaken the life that flows through God's people. A real physical example comes, doesn't it, when we rightly say something like, church is not the building, it's the people. Of course, the life of God flowing in and through us, you and me, in worship and witness. But at the same time, we're not so naive as to say that this building is not helpful and important for us as God's people. A place to gather, a place to serve others, a place to witness from. We're still Saville Row Presbyterian Church, SRPC, without. Goodness, you know that. But it is a helpful physical structure for our life and growth, isn't it? And we all know of physical structures, church buildings that can be helpful and church buildings that can be a real drag on congregations, or congregations that are looking for a church building or would love to have one that doesn't drain them of their finances. We're really grateful to God for the structure and those who look after it. But as I say, the trellis represents not just physical structures like this, but the way we organize what we do. I give you that picture of the vine and the trellis because I find it so helpful to picture the life of the church. God at work by his Spirit in you and me, but also about the wisdom of having good structures that support that life. Not getting bogged down in those structures as though they're what it's about, and in doing so, missing the life of God in us. But always thinking, do we have useful structures? Are we organizing and constructing things as a church in good ways to help that life thrive and spread? Whilst at the same time also simply rooting ourselves in God, being dependent on him as the gardener to bring that life. Also share it, because I think that dynamic of the vine, of the life of God in us and the trellis, those helpful supporting structures, is really well reflected in Exodus 18, as we pick up again on the story of Exodus and God calling us to walk this way. Kathleen, who's at the back, is going to read it for us on video, on the screen, So listen out for the first half of the chapter. We'll hear verses 5 to 9 first, intimating something of the growing life of God's people, and the second half of a helpful structure. Exodus 18, 5 to 9, and 13 to 27. Thanks, Kathleen.
The reading is from Exodus chapter 18, verses 5 to 9, and then verses 13 to 27. Beginning at verse 5, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. Moving on to verse 13. The next day Moses took a seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficulty case to you, the simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times, the difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country.
Thanks, Kathleen. Exodus 18, 1 to 12, and we heard a few verses from it, is a picture of God bringing life and fruitfulness through his people. Throughout the story of Exodus, as we've followed it, and especially since God's brought them out of Egypt, God's been leading and teaching and shaping his people. He's saved them from slavery. He's given them life and freedom. He's going with them in the fiery pillar. They're learning to be dependent on him. We saw through the manna. And there's now another moment in the start of this chapter where they see God at work. A couple of months on, probably from the Exodus, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, who lives over in Midian, a bit further to the east, and has been seemingly looking after Moses' wife, Zipporah, and children during the past while Moses has been in Egypt, he's heard all about what God has done for Moses and the people. The good news has spread out there. And Jethro wants to hear more, and so he brings the family to see Moses again. When they arrive, Moses goes out to greet his father-in-law, hopefully his wife and kids as well, but we're told specifically about the father-in-law here, and that's what the story focuses on. And they sit down for Moses to tell him some of the amazing things God has done in the Exodus and in the journey they've had since then. And Jethro is really delighted to hear from Moses all about this, the good things the Lord's done, it says in verse 9. He goes on, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods." And there in verse 12, he sacrifices to God and he sits down and he eats bread with the elders of Israel in the presence of God. Jethro, who we know is this priest of Midian, that is his background, and his faith has not been at all with God's people. But now it seems like he's no longer an outsider to this community and the Lord, but now he's a believer. He's a belonger. He's sharing in this holy communion with them. He's part of the life together with God. And this little story set nicely after the Amalekites in Exodus 17 that we heard about with Alistair. Because now God's people are seeing that life's not all about battles and struggles following God and hostility. But actually there's life and freedom and joy and fruitfulness that people from outside are finding faith and joining with them. It's set nicely in anticipation of the next bit to come in Exodus 19, where on Mount Sinai God will say to them, "You're going to be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation in the context of the whole earth. You're going to be those who are going to bring me to the nations and the nations to me." Here it is in Jethro in anticipation, some green shoots, first fruits. God is at work then in his people, bringing life through them and bringing others to come and join with that fruitfulness of the vine. I wonder how we're seeing that or how we might see that. It's good news spreading about what's happening, how God's at work in this place, deepening faith and love in us. Maybe it spreads through connections we have, family connections like Moses, or colleagues or neighbors or people living round and about. Maybe through opportunities like Moses took over food and drink and sitting down to share his story of what God had been doing in him, what he'd experienced. God wants his life to flow through us, for us to grow, for us to be fruitful. I wonder, have we sensed that sense of expectancy of his spirit, his life at work in us, of how he might and is using us, of how we might be up for that, of the delight of people who come among us and find life together with Jesus. That's the life of the vine as we look to Jesus. But then in the second half of the chapter, we get this wonderful practical illustration of how supporting structures help that life to flow and grow. So as he's visiting Moses, Jethro is obviously taking a bit of time to see all that Moses is doing, and he sees this really heavy burden that's on his son-in-law from morning till night, who's trying to settle every issue that comes up amongst the people and apply God's wisdom and words to every situation. Moses is like a kind of justice of the peace, but every case is coming to him, and it's all completely bottlenecking around him. So Jethro says to Moses, and there's nothing like a bit of wisdom from your father-in-law, is there? He says, In fact, I was reading that verse 24. I'm sure there's a lot of men thinking, I'm going to ring this and send this to some people I know. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Get that on your fridge. But Jethro says to Moses, listen, this is no good, is it? You and these people coming to you will only wear yourselves out. Listen, I'll give you some advice. And may God be with you in this. Moses, you need to keep your role as God's representative and teach the people how to live. You need to be setting the values and the culture from God's word. But get other people to serve as judges, doing a lot of the stuff that's bottlenecking around you. Set up that structure. Use lots of capable people trained up of good, true character at different levels of gifts and abilities to do a lot more of the work that you've been trying to do. That will make your load bearable. And what's more, all the people will go home satisfied. Literally what he says in verse 23 is that shalom will go with the people. God's peace, his rightness, his wholeness, his justice, his life will flow into the people where before it was bottlenecked and stifled. Listen, there are a whole load of lessons we could take from this practical wisdom of Jethro. We could think about how it's important to listen to people God is graciously using to bring us wisdom, often from outside our own perspective and the way we've always done things. The Presbyterian Westminster Confession of Faith talks about accepting light from any quarter. Be humbly open to this. We could learn about how when people come from outside and different backgrounds to join with us, that in itself may well bring changes as to how we've gone about things. And of course, that can be a challenge to see that change happen. But change that's important and necessary in society, in churches. And we need to be prepared for that. We might learn about how God's people should be those who are at the heart of advocating, as Jethro and God's people are here, for fair, uncorrupted, rightly administered justice for all, and systems and structures and society that enable this. We might take all those together and think how finding wisdom from a different perspective, being prepared for change that welcoming outsiders brings, advocating justice for all, they're all things well worth reflecting on as we come to vote this week. But what I want to come back to is the importance of the trellis, helpful supporting structures, the wisdom of organizing things so God's word and his ways, his shalom, his truth, his love, his justice, his life flow in and through his people and bring fruitfulness. Now, when it comes to structure, we get this, don't we? We're Presbyterians. We do structure. We do it in really good foundational ways. We have a group of elders, not just one leader. And how I know, and I'm blessed by that in St. Phil Road. I'm certainly not Moses, but I certainly can bottleneck things. We have groups of churches in areas, presbyteries, set up to support one another and oversee ministry and mission in that place. And that is how PCI has grown and spread over the centuries, like the very planting of this church 60 years ago. Good denominational structures are really helpful for accountability and strength and supported growth across the church. We are Presbyterians who have our code and our committees and structures galore, and some of that is really helpful. And sometimes any of us can get a bit consumed by the structures and miss the life. What God is doing and wants us to be about. It's a bit like constantly tending to the wooden trellis and ignoring the vine. And some structures can feel more restrictive than supportive of freedom and growth. But yet, good supporting structure is important for a healthy growing vine. And as reformers who are always reforming, and that is the motto of the Reformation, always reforming, we listen, don't we, and we should, to godly voices of wisdom, maybe from outside, that encourage us to think about and see and do things differently. And we reflect on how we best organize and support things so that life together with Jesus flows in this place. I guess that's been a big underlying question for Kirk session here during, before, after lockdown, and it continues to be. What do we need to prioritize? What do we need to get wisdom on? What maybe do we need to restructure so that life and fruitfulness flows more and more in this place? We need to be rooted at God and work, but what do we need to structure to help that happen? Certainly, that's been a question with Beaver, leading to the memorandum of understanding that we passed just a couple of weeks ago, and to our going to see if we can have an associate minister, which is happening on the 23rd of May. That's a developing structure of a partnership that, by God's grace, by God at work, might see life and fruitfulness flow. It's been a question we've been grappling with about discipleship. How do we need to be intentional about our discipleship, maybe intentional about our life groups? What do we need to reimagine or better organize so that our discipleship together thrives? It's been a question about all those who come regularly into our buildings. For example, through Tiny Tots, what does the text say? Capable and trustworthy people who use their gifts so that this resource doesn't bottleneck, but so that we can wisely use for good what God has given us. Indeed, though, funding what church does is not actually someone else's burden, but something we're all called in on. Maybe I could borrow language from the passage and say that people may give at various levels of thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens, but we're all called to cheerfully give from what we have for the sake of life together with Jesus flowing in and through this place. And of course, we love, we give, we serve, because Jesus has first loved, given himself for, and served us. And what a reminder as we close, and as we see the importance of wise, godly structures and continue to reflect on that, that we never forget that above all, we look to the one who gives us life in the vine and that we root ourselves in him. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for our church. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our wider Presbyterian church. We thank you for all those past who have wisely set down good structures to help life flow in and through your people. We pray that you'd continue to help us listen to wisdom and wisely think about how we organize ourselves. What are good structures, helpful ways to see life flow in your people? But most of all, Lord Jesus, we look to you, for you are the vine and we are the branches. Father, you are the gardener who tends to us. And we pray that we would help us lift our eyes to you, to have our lives rooted in you, connected with you and one another, to be dependent on you in prayer, and that your word feed us and flow in and through us, so that that life will bring fruitfulness among us. Lord, may we be open for that. May we pray and may we sing, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Amen. We are going to sing indeed, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Well, may that grace to the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Folks, take a seat. It's quarter past 12. We're going to begin the AGM in 5 minutes at 20 past 12. If you need to go or you want to go, please feel free to leave. We're not trapping you in here. If you need to go and check on children, do go and see them out there. I think we'll keep on the stream. We'll keep on the live stream as well, Gavin. Not the live stream, but we will keep it on in the hub and in the creche if you want to be out there. Jill's going to be out there and a couple of others with the children too, but this also gives a chance for art leaders to come back in these 5 minutes. If you need to go and do any of that and satisfy yourself with any dependents are at, please go and do that. But we'll start 20 past, hopefully about 10 minutes, and coffee is your reward afterwards. Alistair and Robert, I've got fresh hot off the press, the accounts, some headlines from the accounts and report that they'll come and throw around to you all as well, so you can have a copy of that.